So I'm on Netflix, and the first show I watch is Blue Mountain State. And I binge watched this whole show in my first 2 weeks of college. And I'm like, yo, this is what I need to pursue. Like, this is what college is about. I gotta live this life, you know? Like, shoot, I'm a football player anyway. Like, this is what we do.
What's up, y'all? We got a very special guest today. Some of you who've been here last season, y'all know who this is. We got Manny back with us.
Was God.
And we're
Yeah.
continuing our series, Dear College Christian Student. And we are in the second part of the question, Can a Christian have fun in college? And Manny is going to tell us a little bit about his college experience and give us some wisdom based on what he's been through.
Yo, what's going on, fam? Listen, I'm so hyped to be here on season two. I didn't think I was gonna make it back to the second season, but here it is.
Course, man.
No, I'm honored to be here. I'm really actually hyped to talk about this topic. You and Matt actually did a really good job last week. And I think it's actually a really good discussion to have because heck, there are a lot of Christians who get to college and don't know where the line is drawn, don't know what they should or should not be doing, and then just go out there doing whatever. So hopefully somebody, the right people, stumble upon this and figure out and get some wisdom, you know? Come on.
Yep. So we're gonna start off how we started off last episode with the basic simple question. In your opinion, can a Christian have fun in college?
Bet straight up. Now that's a basic question. Can a Christian have fun in college? Yes. Should they? No. And of course, the fun can be defined as so many different things, but the fun that we are talking about in this sense is a simple worldly fun of a aggressive party lifestyle, aggressive drinking and fornication and things of that nature. It's actually very possible for a Christian to do that. At the same time, it's not feasible that a Christian should do it. Like that you can do it most definitely because there's not many things you can't do, but you really should not be doing it in whatsoever way, shape, or form. And that's my straight up answer. Yeah, straight like that.
But Manny, it's my first year in college, man. I just want to have fun, and God still loves me, but
Hey, you know what? That's fine. I don't care. I personally, I don't care. Yeah, and y'all know me, man. I'm so blunt to it. I don't care. It's really just that simple. It's and to be honest with you, it's interesting for me to have this perspective because I've been through it. I'm somebody who since hey, we're gonna get into it. I'm somebody who, I got to college and it was all about having fun for me. And I think for Christians, it's a lot of different factors depending on who you are. So I came from a Christian household where it's two pastors, two Nigerian immigrant pastors, and I was raised in such a way where I didn't really have all those worldly funds. I didn't do all that stuff. Why? Because I had to come home to my parents. So one, I had to come home at a certain time, so it didn't allow me to be out there with the late night shenanigans. And two, yeah, and then just two, no, they were just really strict, so it was impossible. But when I got to college, I literally got my first taste of worldly fun. Well, no, in fact, let me scale back. When I was getting recruited to play football in high school, so when you get recruited to different schools, D1 schools and other schools. You go to these schools for a weekend for Friday, Saturday, and you leave Sunday. And they show you the ropes. They show you everything from a classroom to a locker room to where they live. And they also show you the fun that they have on the weekend. And you get to partake in that. You get to drink. You get to do other things. You get to smoke. Heck, you might even find somebody to sleep with, depending on how crazy you are. So it really gets wild. And that was my actual first taste of worldly fun. It was actually in high school senior year when I visited various different colleges for football. So I kind of knew what I was walking into when I got to college. Now, the thing is, as a believer, you know, you, as we said, to really answer the question, you can do a lot of things, but you shouldn't do it. And my whole thing when it comes to Christians, I mean, this is such a great topic, because at the end of the day, it's the question is, hey, what do you really want? What are you really after? How are you really living your life? For a lot of Christians, not even just young Christians, for a lot of Christians who think they understand something of the Word of God, just a simple key and access to heaven is fine for them. I don't want to go to the hell so bad that as long as I make it to heaven, I'm good. I can do whatever I want on earth, but if I can get Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I'm in heaven, that's fine. You know, heaven is not the goal. Heaven was never the goal. Heaven is part of the goal, most definitely, but the goal is and always is God, and is and always is Jesus Christ. So when we're on earth, our life is to be lived out in pursuit of Him. It's about Him, and it always will be about Him. So should I be certain places? Should I be doing certain things? Should I be having a certain amount of funds, I guess, in college? Well, that brings back the very classic question. Not even what would Jesus do? Heck, what would Jesus think about you in this moment? So it goes all the way down to that. Like, man, obviously, if that's my most important relationship, I shouldn't be doing those things. Now, it's really bringing it back to me. I got to college and I did everything. Everything. If you can think about it, trust me, I did it and I maximized it. I went hard doing it. And I had fun doing it. I won't even lie. But it was tough. It was so tough for me to be a Christian and do those things at the same time. It was tough for me to put on the facade of Christianity at the same time. Because like I'm telling people one thing, like I remember I got to college, like, yeah, you know, I'm a Christian. I don't do the certain things. Like, I don't have sex with people. Yeah, I don't really drink and smoke. And then you start to compromise, you know, slowly but surely. You may not even want to do certain things, but you feel like, hey, you need to have some fun. You need to have a break. You need to fit in, whatever your reason may be. And you start to give in small. Until you realize, you know what? I don't even recognize who I am. I can't even see the values that I used to have. I can see, you know, just what I stand for. Like for me, I started to realize that I was literally, without trying, effortlessly living a double life where I would, I was also a bouncer in college. So I would be bouncing, I'd be drinking, smoking, and with so many different women and stuff, to like 4, 5, 6 a.m. in the morning, and then be on a train by 8 something to make it to church for 10:15. And I get to church and I'm put on this completely different persona. And I'm just like, geez, you know, this is a lot of work trying to live these two different lives. After I go from church, I'll come all the way back to school and then it'll be the same thing again. So at one point it was a huge identity crisis for myself. Like, yo, who am I even at this moment? You know, I'm out here struggling to live these two different lives. So I think for a Christian, you can do it, but it'll be such a internal power struggle of the Holy Spirit in your flesh. It'll be such an internal power struggle of your own identity that it's really just in your best opinion that you don't really do it at all. That was long-winded, but there it is. I'm just waking up. So let me stretch a little bit. Come on.
Wow. You said a lot. One question I would ask is, so you have this understanding, I guess the question I would ask, the understanding that you have now, like about that lifestyle or stuff like that, like living for the world and living for Christ, did you have this understanding when you were going to college?
And what understanding would that be in terms
Like basically, like, did you go into college with the mindset that like, yo, like I gotta live for Jesus, like that's the right thing to do?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. So for me, one of the interesting things is like, obviously I'm a whole lot older now. And I think before college, my quote unquote relationship with Christ was so basic. It was so basic in the sense that, hey, I wasn't really actively praying or reading my word, but I went to church and I knew the right things to do. So I knew in me knowing the right things to do, I went into college with the right mindset of, hey, this is what I should do. This is what I should not do. But I will never forget. Things really changed for me because, okay, so as the football player, or most athletes in D1 schools, you get to school early. So I remember I graduated like something around like June 26th, 2013. And I was in school, like I was in college like 3-4 days after that for the first semester in the summer. So I'm in college and you get all the access to everything you have. So one of the perks we had Hulu, was it Hulu? No, we had HBO, Showtime and Netflix for free. So I'm like, oh man, I got free Netflix. You know, I don't like to, if it's free, it's for me. I don't like to pay for anything. So I'm on Netflix and the first show I watch is Blue Mountain State. And I binge watched this whole show in my first 2 weeks of college. And I'm like, yo, this is what I need to pursue. Like, this is what college is about. I got to live this life, you know, like, shoot, I'm a football player anyway. Like, this is what we do. So I went after that. So I came in with the right mindset and I said all the right things, but it wasn't long after changing what I was pursuing that I started, you know, doing some other crazy stuff. And it's good. You know, a lot of people come in with the right mindset. That's good and great, but you know, you have to live that life out. Is it hard? I mean, is it easy? I would say, no, it's not easy, but it's simple. It is very simple. Simple and easy are two different things. It's very simple what you have to do, but sometimes it's not an easy process. But if you really keep, you know, if you really are the person and really in pursuit of God, how you should be, oh, I think it'd be very, very, it'll be a whole lot easier done and said. You know, like knowing the things I know now, oh my goodness, it wouldn't even be hard at all. You know, I wouldn't even call it hard if I knew everything I knew now. But that's the thing. I think part of it is this, hey, even if you're listening to this right now, it's quite clearly that you know better. So if you know better, you just got to do better. It's really just that simple. Hey, I know better, so I'm going to do better. That's in college, that's in life, that's in cheating, that's in cheating in school, cheating on relationships, that's in family, that's in anything. Because I know better, I should just do better. So when you get to that point, that's where that's the question you have to ask yourself and act accordingly. Yeah.
That's good. So the last line about if you know better, do better. Something that just came to my mind is like, right, what if there's somebody that, let's say, like they're Christian, right? And their family is Christian, but I guess what we would call lukewarm, like they don't have like a good like Christian model. Like they see their family do like drink and stuff like that and still go to church and da-da-da. But when they get to college, right? And this is just a hypothetical situation, right? And they get to college, and let's say they get to college and they say, yo, I want to like figure like what this Christ thing is about. But they have the college lifestyle, right? Plus the home that they grew up in that like kind of like promotes that it's okay to live that lifestyle and love God or whatever. So like, what advice would you give to that type of person?
Yeah, I think it's clear that that person, they need a proper role model. They need a proper image. They need something that's proper to model after and look up to. So that's where, one, I would say, hey, listen, you need to surround yourself with the proper Christians. And it's sad that we have to say that, but it is what it is. Hey, there's lukewarm believers out there, you know. I was once a very, very lukewarm believer. There's a lot of lukewarm believers out there. So you need to surround yourself with the right type of Christians. And you need to put, you know, you need to put the right things in place. First and foremost, to be very honest, you know, to be very cliche and honest with what I'm about to say, hey, our role model should be Jesus Christ anyway. I believe it's Paul that says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So he's like, hey, listen, I'm trying to do what Christ is trying to do. If you're even going to follow me, let me simplify it for you. Just follow what Christ did. And even when you read a verse like that or see something like that, it's best that you want to perform like Christ. I think one of the craziest things is people don't realize, as a believer, your job is just to be an actor or an actress in every way, shape, or possible. When you think of somebody like Heath Ledger, you know, he was a joke in The Dark Knight. I love watching The Dark Knight. If it comes on TV, I feel bad for whatever I'm supposed to do because I'm just going to watch it. And I literally watch it just to watch Heath Ledger as the Joker just put on this facade of a character and go yard with it. And they talk about how, you know, the different things he had to do to get himself in that mentality and becoming that character. But that's what actors and actresses do. They get a script and they don't just try and read it just for the sake of the movie. No, they take time to become this person and then go do it. You think of somebody like Chris Evans, who is Captain America. Chris Evans naturally is like a skinny, smart, scrawny guy. When he knows those movies are coming up, and if you see his normal personality, he's such a fun, loving, laughing guy. But when it's time for him to be Captain America, he spends months in the gym. He gets huge, he gets bigger, and then he changes his persona. What we are to do as believers is be the best actors and actresses we can and be like Christ. Our job is very similar to people in Hollywood. They get a script, they read it, they read their lines, and they become that person. We have a script, it's the word of God. We read the lines of Jesus Christ, and it's on us to become just like that. We have to put on our best performance of being Christ-like. So he should be our role model. He should be the person we're trying to emulate and replicate, and we should do that to the best of our ability. So I think for somebody who's like, hey, listen, I don't have the best role model of how it is at home, and I'm out here in the world, you have to put in a lot of effort to really be in your word and to be like Christ and to have the right people around you. You can never do it by yourself. You can never do it by yourself at all. So I think it's great to find some other Christians in your community. And together, you guys challenge each other to be better. You know, it's so crazy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just woke up, but even as I say that, I think about the verse, one of my favorite verses actually, 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. It says, flee youthful lust, which is run away from youthful lust and temptations, but pursue righteousness, pursue things that are holy, pursue all these good things. And at the end, it says with other people. So pursue Christ with others. You can't do it by yourself. So first, there's three lessons in that one scripture. One, you gotta run from your temptations, run from your lusts, run from the things of the world, run from things that's gonna lead you away from Christ, and pursue Christ. Don't just run from him, no, run to something as well. So run to God, run to Christ, run to his righteousness, the proper lifestyle, and don't run alone. Don't run alone, run with other believers, challenge each other. You're in a group of friends, of people who you really surround yourself with and have influence with, they are influenced by, they should also be running towards Christ as you are. And you guys strengthening each other on the way, because neither one of you are perfect, but you can help each other along the way and find the battles and carrying the burdens in the prayer of life against temptation and everything that comes your way for sure.
That's good. That's good. That is good. Can you give us a little bit more clarity on the acting like Christ?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Acting like Christ is walking in the spirit. That's more clarity for sure. I definitely did bristle over that. If you're gonna act like Christ, you're gonna follow the spirit. Quite simply, when you get to college, your flesh wants to do everything and everyone, period. That's just how flesh works. But when you walk in the spirit, you're denying your flesh. When you walk in the spirit, you're walking like Christ. You're imitating Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ did everything by the leading of God. He did everything, obviously walking in purpose. I mean, so many different rabbis. I'm just trying to simplify to this. But you know, my head is like spinning now with sermons to just spill, but let me calm down. So one of the biggest things about Jesus Christ is once he was baptized, everything he did, and heck, even before that, technically because of prophecy, but everything he did was at the leading of the Holy Spirit. So if we're going to imitate Christ, it's going to be by walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5 is very huge on that. And it's not just a character thing. So I'll give you an example of walking in the Spirit. I'll give you a college example. Let me see if I can. I'll give you an example. I was going to give you a personal one, but I said, no, that's not even a good story. But I'll give you an example. So walking in the spirit is very, very plain, you know. Hey, you want to go out, you want to drink and party. And you know you shouldn't. You know you can, but as a believer, you shouldn't. So you even find yourself at this party. First of all, before that, somebody asked you, you were on the fence about it. you hear the spirit inside just saying no, and you're like, I'll think about it, and you eventually end up going. So two, now you're at this party. Now they got paraphernalia everywhere. There's weed everywhere. There's pounds of drugs. There's cocaine. There's mushrooms. Everyone's having a good time. Everyone's playing different types of drinking games. And it's your turn to take some. Either take a shot, take a hit, you know, take something. And the Holy Spirit's telling you no. The Holy Spirit is telling you to go home. To walk in the Spirit is to listen to the voice of God. Not just to listen to it, but to also obey. Whenever you say no, whatever you don't do, whenever you walk in disobedience to what God is leading you to do, that's you walking in the flesh. That's not you imitating Christ at all. That's not you being Christ-like at all. That's not you acting like Christ. That's not you reading your script in the Word of God and acting it out to the best of your ability. That's you jumping out of character. That's you literally going the way of the world. So if you're going to walk in the Spirit, as God is leading you, you do. As God is taking you, you go in every little thing. And the importance of walking in the Spirit is walking in the Spirit for the little things. Because when you walk in the Spirit of the little things, it makes walking in the Spirit for the big things easier. If I walk in the Spirit, and if I'm a college student, heck, I walk in the Spirit of, and when God is just telling me to wake up a little bit early just to pray, it makes it easier for me to say no to someone who's trying to offer me something later on in the day. If I start, you know, my obedience earlier in the day with the small things, waking up to pray, holding the door for somebody, just saying hello, heck, doing your homework on time. When you actually focus and listen to the Spirit in the small sense of obedience, it makes it easier to deny the flesh later. That's what people don't realize. Sometimes walking in the Spirit is not always going to be a big grandiose thing of, you know, laying hands and healing somebody or even denying, you know, weed or something like that. Walking in the Spirit is literally denying yourself from procrastinating sometimes. Is literally denying yourself from being lazy or heck, getting up and doing some dishes or cleaning your room when the Holy Spirit's moving you in that area. And sometimes we're just like, no. And those are the moments where we're supposed to develop the faith muscles. Those are the moments where we're supposed to develop obedience muscles and things like that. So when it gets to the bigger challenges, it's a whole lot easier than it should be, you know, because we're able to just walk in obedience throughout the day. And walk in the Spirit is huge on character. As we see in the scripture, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it talks about a Christ-like character, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you can walk in that, oh my goodness, when you can walk in that, to be quite frank, you would never not be where you're not supposed to be. You'd never do things you're not supposed to do. Because one of the biggest things about the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And one of our biggest issues is we don't have self-control. We want to gratify our flesh and do a lot of things in college that we shouldn't do. We want to just jump out of self-control because we think, hey, listen, there's no parent here to control me. I now control myself, but you open up yourself to do anything. That's not really self-control. That's just liberation to just do. You know, just because you are now in position to control yourself, then you should control yourself. Not try and just maximize and figure out your boundary lines and tote the lines of what you can or cannot do. No, it's simply subject your flesh under control to the same rules, but you are now in control of your life with the power of the Holy Spirit. So, yeah.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what we're on today. I don't know.
Wow.
I'm ready. I'm here with a full clip, man. I've been there. That's because the thing is, I've been there. And that's why I think that's part of why I'm always so blunt. When I'm talking about anything, when it comes to college lifestyle and stupidity that a young woman and men want to do these days, because I've done all the stupid stuff. And what I mean is really not worth it, not to really sound like the old head. It's really not worth it, though, at the end of the day. I was just telling one of our guys, I'll keep his name quiet, literally less than 24 hours ago, we got on and we were talking about how, you know, he's been struggling in college doing certain things. And I'm like, bro, listen, you do realize, on a very practical level, looking back at college and being very upset with myself, I am because this is one reason amongst many. I wasted so much money on weed. I wasted so much money on drinks. I wasted so much money, you know, traveling to places, traveling girls out places and doing all these different things. Like, dude, you're wasting so much money just trying to chase the world and it's, you're not being satisfied. At the end of the day, you're failing your class. at the end of the day, you still gotta, you know, you're facing such heavy condemnation. At the end of the day, it's really pointless. Like, some of these experiences aren't even that great, I mean, that fun. So it's like, man, I'm really wasting a whole lot of money for nothing, for a whole lot of nothing. And it's like, you know, it's so pointless, especially when you get out of college and you realize there's a lot more bigger things than the moment you were in. I think that's something that we never, and it's hard for anybody to realize that. You can be 60, you could be 13. But there's something way bigger than your prom when you're in high school. Prom is not the end of the world, you know? But when you're in high school, it's the biggest thing ever. Well, trust me, 3, 4, 5 years later, you won't even care. Heck, you won't even remember how much, you know, where you went or the people you were talking to then. You probably won't even talk to half of them. And that's a sad reality of life. But you got to remember, man, there are bigger moments, more important things that you have to get into. A lot of people, I can't remember what year it was. I'm pretty sure it's Drake. I don't want to talk like that, like I don't know things. And I'm so far removed. But somebody, it was Drake. The song came out. It was YOLO, right? YOLO Live One, something like that.
By Drake, right?
Yeah, I hope I'm right.
that song?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
That's so bad. I've literally grown to this point where I sound anyway. But the truth of life is, hey, you know, people be like, hey, it is what it is, you know, you only live once. But the truth of the matter is, yes, you only live once. So what's the point of you living it that way? Like you only do live once. So live it properly. Don't try to live once and live so risque that you can die early. No, live once, plan properly. And yo, thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. Here's the stupidity of the concept of you only live once and want to do whatever you want to do. That's not you living for the future of your family. You know, we see great men and women in our lives today in the Bible who, even in their living once, they left something for their children. They left not only just a role model, a good example for themselves, but things for them to do. Like David left a whole temple for Solomon to build, you know, and it's like, hey, you live once, but how is the life you're living setting up your family in the future? You are a terrible parent if you don't live your life in a way where it helps your future family. I'm sorry to say that for any parent listening, but it's just the truth. Yeah, it's Bible. It's just the truth of life. If you're literally living once and living for yourself, you're a terrible person. You're not maximizing the life that you're living once with. In fact, it's so minimized that your live once became pointless, because by the time you die, there's no fruit in anything that you did that's living on after that. So yeah, you live once, live properly, please.
And you kind of, it's kind of like a smooth transition to the next question is like, what are the benefits of living for Christ in college? Like what's in it for me?
What? I don't even want to talk about this because like, this gets me tight low key. I'd be mad at myself. Like, I get it, God, all things happen for the right reason. Everybody got a testimony and a story, yada, yada, yada. But I really look back and I'm just like, yo, if you had done it the right way, if you literally did the things you were supposed to do, man, you have no idea. I think here's one of the biggest benefits that we can never underestimate in life is giving God glory, period. Giving God glory. Like what? Like, I can't answer this question. Because it's so sad for me. Like, I wasted that time, you know, like, golly, you know, school for 5 years and it was extremely lukewarm. But let me go ahead and try and answer it. So for me, the benefits of living the life of a believer, or properly living how you should in college. So while I was in college, like I said, I did all the things in the book that you're never supposed to do. At the same time, I was also the head of our very, very small, minute sector of FCA. FCA, for people who don't know, it's a nationwide thing. It's called the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So I was the head of the Christian Athletes meetup. We would probably meet very, very, very periodically, obviously, because we were all heavy in our sin life that we didn't meet that often. But I was supposed to be the head of that thing. And what I realized is it's really hard, you know, to circle back to one of the things you said earlier. When you know better and you're supposed to do better, it's so hard to be a lukewarm believer when people know that you're a believer. Like, it's the condemnation and the conviction is so loud. Like, I was just praying with you 2-3 hours ago. And now I'm supposed to be at this bar, and I'm supposed to be at this club, and we're supposed to be doing God knows what, because he does know what. And it's just kind of weird. It's just kind of weird. So I think what we had to realize, the benefits of walking in obedience is tremendous. That's first and foremost, like living your life to glorify God. And it goes back to, hey, what level of Christian are you? You know, are you a lukewarm believer and you really don't care? Is heaven just a goal for you? Or is are you really working your relationship with God? Because if you are, you understand the importance of, you know, your story for his glory. Here's the serious thing is this. If God's put you on any campus, be it a virtual class campus or any physical campus as a believer, there's an assignment for you. There are lives that you have influence over. There are lives that you can change. I don't care if you're the quietest girl in your class and you really don't talk to anybody, or you're the most popular person in your school and it's 50,000 people, or if it's just 1,500 people. There's influence in lives that you have to change. And sometimes we get caught up, you know, well, let me not get there yet. God's given you influence. So you being a Christ-like believer the right way is going to empower somebody else. It's going to help somebody else. Fam, do you not, like, a college campus? Like, I think for now that, like, you know, I'm in ministry now and stuff like that, my perspective has changed. Like, I see places, I see people, and I just think of souls. Like, oh my gosh, there's so many souls that could be won. And you start fiending. Like, yo, if you go back to college and you look around, it's like, yo, look at all these souls you can get for the kingdom. Like, what? You in a classroom of 15? That's 14 souls outside of you. Heck, 15 if you count your professor. Like, that's OD. And your job is to cause a chain reaction. So to scale back some more, you don't need 50,000. You don't even need 15. You need one. You need one. You cause a chain reaction to somebody else, and that continues from them to someone else. And it keeps going. And you just see, because you decide to change your life, because you decide to live a certain way, I feel God on this, because you decide to really live the life of a believer, you can cause a chain reaction and change your entire campus. And it's one soul at a time. But it starts off with your soul. It starts off with your decision. It starts off with the things you say, the things you do, the stance you make. Yo, listen, the book of Daniel talks about the three Hebrew boys, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. I don't say about the slave names. I think everyone knows, like, you know, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the names people say. But when you think about them and Daniel, they literally say, hey, listen, we don't care what the world does. We don't care what the world says. We're going to stand and do the things God wants us to do. And you can do that. That's the life you're supposed to live. And what we don't realize, hey, when we're able to do that, at the end of that story is in Daniel chapter 3. At the end of that story, the king made a decree that, yo, listen, we need to serve the God that they serve. Heck, and the same thing happens with Daniel in the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6. The king goes like, yo, listen, all of us out here, we're going to serve this God. When you take a stand for God, when you take a stand for the things of God, you start influencing people in the right way, things will change, not just in your life, in the life of people around you. And you have no idea. A college ground is the best place for a revival. A college ground is the best place to literally shift this atmosphere, shift this nation, and shift this entire generation, because everyone is in there. You can influence them. They'll take that influence that hits on campus. And this is what people don't realize. Your college, people from all over the world are there. So they take that influence of how God's changed them, and they'll take it back to Spain. They'll take it back to California. They'll take it back to Australia. And boom, we see this change, this chain reaction hitting the corners of the world. And it was all part of God's plan if you walk in obedience and really just do it, do what he does. So the benefit is really just walking in purpose and power. And that's the only benefit I'm going to say. Why? Because you don't realize until you do it, how fulfilling walking in obedience is, how fulfilling walking in purpose is. Until you actually do it, you realize, like, you know what? I should have done this the whole time. This feeling that I have, this wholeness that I have, this completeness that I'm feeling right now, this was actually what I needed. I didn't need to have sex with that girl. I need to drink all these different drinks. I need to smoke or sniff, none of that. If I just obey what God wanted me to do, I would have been good. And you would save yourself from so many deteriorating things. So, yeah.
Wow. Wow. And it's crazy you brought up that point about how, like, when you see the world, like, you see like, you see souls now, like potential people that could go to heaven and stuff like that. Because it's crazy, bro. Literally, what's the last time I had class? I think Wednesday, bro. I was literally, like, I promise you, bro. I was literally walking. I was walking to class, right? And, like, it's one of those outside areas. You know where everybody be, like, crossing to go to class? Like,
yeah.
One of those areas, bro. And I kind of, like, imagine, like, a scene from Loki. You know, remember where it's so, like, all the different, like, destinies and realities?
Yeah.
Like, yo, bro, this is, like, mad different purposes and destinies, like, just crossing, like, each other right now, bro.
Yeah,
like,
man. It's
crazy, bro.
I think about that all the time. Like, you know, when I'm on the subway, man, I'd be on the subway. I'm just like, yo, look at all these different people. Like, they different destinations, different stories, you know, different people struggling with what, you know, whatever they're struggling with. It's like, man, they need, like, you know, I don't know if they have Jesus or not, but man, I hope they do. I hope they really do. And what can I do in this moment? Now, I'm not saying that's the moment I bring out the Bible, bring out the cardboard and be like, repent, you know, or you're going to die. You're going to go to hell. No, but man, maybe something even about the way I even act in that moment can change their life. And I'm just going to do it. So, yeah, man, that's huge. That's so huge.
Yep. So, boom, we went through our question about, can a Christian have fun in college? We see the benefits of it. We see the consequences of it. And we had the perspective of somebody that actually been through the quote unquote college experience that we talked about. So I know there's probably somebody out there wondering, like, I get it. Cool. I hear this in church every single Sunday, but I did not go in college. I did not go to college to sit in my dorm and read my Bible all day. There has to be a way I can have a good time. I just want to have a good time. I don't want to hurt God, but I want to have a good time in college.
How do you do that? That's so easy, yo. I'll say this, you know, like, people think, first of all, let me put this out there. God does not want you cooped up in your room just being with him at all. Don't get me wrong. He loves you. He loves your presence. But if you're not out there walking in purpose and power, then it's like, fam, what are you even doing? I guarantee you this, if you're doing your walk with God properly, you would never just be cooped up in your room, you know, because there are things he wants you to do. If you're looking for fun, fam, you're in college. Like, what? You know how many different activities you can do? Like, God, unless your school is trash. I mean, I don't know. I only went to one school, you know, unless your school is trash or something. But, like, man, there's so many different clubs you can join. One where you can actually be put to good use, where I don't know if you have a talent in acting or dancing or plays or things like that. You can join the club with the same, you know, to be quite honest, sometimes the same people you would see out, you know, out and about at night. You can enjoy shows depending on your location of school around the world. Enjoy the city or the neighborhood that you're in. Heck, you know, I went to school in New York City, the greatest city in the world. And I grew up in New York City, the greatest city in the world. There's so many different things you can do. You're not even alone. There's so many people you can get around and just have a good time. You know, I think if people feel like, oh, I'm supposed to be cooped up in my room, yada, 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 all day. Do you enjoy your relationship with God at all? Like, how is this relationship with God with you? You know, like, it's not a legalistic thing where God's like, hey, I want you to suffer and never enjoy any moment of your life. No, that's not how it works at all. Like, find something to do. Go to the movies. It's funny because I always think about how one of the most serious semesters in my college life. So college for me, like I said, was wild. I don't like to glorify sin and go into details, but hey, maybe, you know, maybe it's the right question to ask or on another podcast, I will legit detail as much as needed. But I remember I was thinking about this yesterday in church. It's so funny. 2016, one of my semesters I just took like the most serious ever. And it came around the finals time. And I think for like that March, April time period, I was just so serious. I didn't have a TV, so I was focused. You know, it was the 1 year that I had a single. I didn't have any roommates, and I was just like focused on school, trying to get my grades right, yada yada. And I rewarded myself after my finals. I decided to, hey, I'm gonna go to the movie theaters. And this is such a facetious long story for no reason, but I was literally thinking about this yesterday. I went to the movie theaters and I watched, because they were in the movies at the time, I watched X-Men Apocalypse and I watched Captain America Civil War. And I watched them both in the same day, back to back. Now I went to these movie theaters and I didn't watch a single trailer for neither one of these movies. I just knew, hey, I like Marvel, I'm gonna go check this out. And I watched these movies and I was blown away by this Marvel movie. Like, what the hell did I just watch? Like, this was crazy. And it was fun for me though, to even literally, I'm a different type of person. I'm a people person, but I'm like a natural introvert. I need my alone time. So I went to the movies by myself. But I had so much fun. And my point in this is really saying, you know, you don't even realize, like, when you can really focus yourself and, you know, focus, when you can really get focused, one, you can accomplish what you have to do and still have fun at the same time. And it's really what you define as fun. And fun at the same time is whenever you make anything. I have hella fun going to church on Sundays. I be in church wilding. I have hella fun just watching the movie. I have hella fun, you know, just being outside playing, like, football. I have hella fun being inside and you know, playing card games. I have hella fun, you know, just going to like an escape room. You know, people think like the life of a Christian, you can't do anything. No, you just can't do the wrong thing. There's so many good and great things you can go out and do. You just got to do it, and you got to let that be something you desire. If you desire smoking, what do you desire? Then you know, I don't know, just going out and having a picnic or something. I'm just throwing things out there. Then you'll be on that picnic thinking it's trash, thinking you're not having a good time, thinking there's no fun in this. When fun is something you make it. If you can't have fun without the help of an additive, then you're not fun. Like, you're the person who's not fun. I don't need to be drunk to be fun. I don't need to be high to be fun. I can just be fun all the time. And that's on you. So if you want to have fun, be fun. It's really just that simple. Yeah.
It's crazy, and like my mind is blown. And so that's why you see me reacting like this, is because, bro, you were not here when we recorded the last episode, and you just like touched the points that I was going to close with and ask your thoughts on. So there's three. So I left them with three things Christians can do to have fun in college. And you touched this, setting the tone, maybe starting something of your own, like a revival or a club or something like that. And number three was set the standard of fun.
Boom. Yeah. Like,
what is fun? Like fun doesn't have to be what the world says is fun. Like, you make your own definition of fun and stuff like that. And then the second point, which is the last point, and I really want to hear your thoughts on this. And it kind of ties into the legalistic Christian view that could sometimes cloud our mind and stuff like that. Is that I said, surround yourself with fun and focused people, and all of your friends don't have to be Christian. For example, like, there could be somebody that's like, that's on that, like, just because they're not Christian doesn't mean they're not in college for the right reason. And actually,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I mean, like, somebody that might not be religious, but you got the same class as them, they on point.
Oh, yeah.
Want to go get some pizza, feel me? Like, so what's your thought on that?
I think it's so weird. I don't know when it happened, because I think we all have it. What am I trying to say? Like, being a Christian does not mean, like, it's so, and you know what? It's hard, like, because we're supposed to be in the world and not of the world. And you're supposed to live a life that's separated and holy, but geez, make sure you're not a weirdo. You know, I feel like some Christians I feel like they drift off to being a weirdo. Like, don't act weird. Like, you know, don't do that. That's so scary. Like, yeah, I think you should definitely learn to just enjoy the people around you. First of all, if you're a Christian and all your friends are Christians only, then you're not living this life right at all. You know, you're supposed to have an influence on people who are non-believers anyway. Two, there are a lot of non-believers who are amazing people, you know, who are great people, and they still sin as just as like. You're sinning yourself too. You know, you're not somebody who's out here who's not sinning. You know, you're sinning yourself. So don't think yourself better than, and don't separate yourself from them. You need to influence. You need to grow together. Yeah, enjoy the people around you. Go out, get some pizza with your classmates. Go out, just sit and chill, watch the game with some people. Like, you know, just enjoy the presence of other people. And let the that's where the Christ-likeness, if that's the word, is supposed to come out. It's supposed to show and shine. That's where you're supposed to have the influence. That's where you're supposed to be somebody who, like, but you know what? He or she, they're different, but they're really just like me. But they got things under control in a certain way. How in the world do they have it? You know what? Let me just go ask them. And it's like, yeah, honestly, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's just that simple. And you can have this same thing if you know God. And it's not even always leading to that point. It's just really just enjoying life with people and not having this mindset or persona of I gotta be weird because I'm a child of God, and this person is just this, that, and the third, and evil spirits here and there, and oh my gosh, you know, I can't see this, or I can't watch this, or, oh my gosh, I need to just stay in my room and pray for 6 hours and fast and stuff like that. Like, no, don't have the wrong perspective of what this walk is about. Hey, this walk is about relationship with God. So that means it's about relationship with people as well. And that's it. It's not about nothing religious. It's about full on working relationships. Oh boy. Man, it'd be like that.
And once again, Mr. Manius, you blessed us. You blessed us again.
God is good. I'm just happy. Like I said, I'm happy to make season 2, man. You know, love y'all. I truly love coming to the podcast, love listening, and love the work y'all do. And yeah, man, this is a blessing. This is great, actually. This is really gonna bless somebody.
This is no really cap, gonna bless bro. Somebody. I could feel it inside this one too.
Yeah, this one is really gonna bless somebody. So I'm really happy about it. Sure. Yeah, come on. Come on.
Don't bless nobody else, but bless me for a fact.
Come on.
So, Mr. Man, well, I'm calling you Mr. Manny's, bro. Everybody got this in my head, bro. Man.
So many names, yo. You know what's so crazy on that topic? That name, actually, that name was. Oh, Holy Spirit. That name was given to me in college for all the wrong reasons. So, Now that like all the believers are calling me that, it's so wild, man. But it's like, hey, my story for His glory, man. Testimony.
That's fine. So how can we connect with you on social media?
Yeah, man. Social media handle. That's a great question. All my social medias have different names. I don't know why that's happened, but it's going to stay like that. I think that's kind of cool. But if you really want to connect with me, it's really solely Instagram. Yes, I'm on Twitter. Yes, I'm on Facebook. Yes, I'm on Snapchat. But if you want to reach me, it's Instagram. I'm the type of person, you know, Cash, you know it too. I've shown you examples. People literally ask me questions in the DMs, and I be at them. Like, you know, y'all getting the personalized voice notes, and y'all getting hopefully the answers that you need. So reach out, don't be a stranger. I talk to anybody. I am one of those weirdos where I will talk to you forever. So just do it. My IG is Mr_RenaissanceMan. I'll say it again and I'll spell it for you. Mr_RenaissanceMan. That's MR_RenaissanceMan. Boom, you can find me there, slide in my DMs, man. And yeah, you'll get to see my life as you would probably see. I'm a preacher of the word. I'm a youth pastor at AOCC. And our AOCC youth church, man, we are turning up. We're about to do some things for the kingdom as God's leading me. You know, I preach weekly. for our Youth Power Hour services that are on YouTube and Facebook at 7 p.m. When you follow me on IG, you will see the link in my bio. There is a link to all the Youth Power Hour sermons and series that God's been, the Holy Spirit has been leading me through. Tune in. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed 1,000%. And hey, listen, if you're in the New York City area, slide in my DMs and get ready because we are starting our new services soon. That is around the corner. More details will come out on that. And we're so happy with the revival that's already started around the world, but especially here in New York City where I'm at and what God's going to be doing. So be ready to be blessed, man. Come out.
What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in. We want to make sure you guys are connected with us. So please feel free to follow us on social media. Our Instagram is at Quarantine with Jesus, and our TikTok is also at Quarantine with Jesus. We post a podcast on the first and third Friday of each month at 12 p.m. Eastern time. But you can find us throughout the week on social media, giving you guys content from TikToks to prayers to quotes, everything, man. And we got some merch coming for you guys, too. So follow us, stay connected, because we got a lot more coming for you guys. And please don't hesitate to shoot us a DM if you have any questions. Let us know what you think about the podcast. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see y'all next time.